The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
The title of the workshop this morning is Service, Why? Those of you that are teachers, why did you do that? Why did you decide to serve in that capacity? School board members, did you just have to? And we'll talk about that some. About wrong reasons to serve. Why do we serve? And why do we want to teach our children that service is a good idea? Is it a good idea? How important is it in our lives? In John chapter 13, there's a scripture there that I kind of use for a springboard as I think on this subject. John chapter 13, Jesus is speaking to his disciples there, and he's just washed their feet. He's as their master and Lord, he's kneeled down in a humble position and washed dirty, perhaps stinky, smelly feet. And, you know, sometimes we get the idea that, yeah, I want to be of service, but it's got to be on this certain plane up here. That works best for me. The really dirty stuff someone else can do. Let's be careful about that. That's not what Jesus taught there. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And it's not just trying to get across the point that of a feet washing ceremony, but of a day-to-day service to other people. Verse 16, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now is that a good reason to serve? Happiness, joy. And that's good. I'm not sure that would be necessarily should be our primary goal. It's not. But it is a very wonderful byproduct of service. And I was intrigued as I studied for this. When I study for something, I tend to Google it and see what the rest of the world thinks about this subject. And that can be very interesting. And Albert Schweitzer, who I don't know what his religious background or thinking was, pointed out, he said, the only really happy people are those who have learned how to serve. He recognized that happiness and serving are tied together. But I found a website that was talking about, it says seven reasons why serving others serves us. And it was completely secular. It does not have any religious twist to it at all. It's just saying being of service to other people brings about in our lives joy, happiness, and there's seven things here, and I'll just go through them quickly. I'm not going to read the whole article. The first thing was more happiness. And some professor of preventive medicine says that a part of our brain lights up when we help other people. That part of our brain then doles out feel-good chemicals like dopamine and possibly serotonin. According to this man, these chemicals help us feel joy and delight, a helper's high. It's a common reaction that people feel more tranquil, peaceful, serene. Others may feel warmer and more trusting. When we volunteer, we often give ourselves deeper purpose and meaning, and that nearly always leads to greater happiness. How wonderful. Is that why you serve? Oh, I'll be so much happier because I'm going to be releasing certain chemicals. Of course, we don't go through that thought process, but we do know that when we serve with the right attitude, it does bring a joy and happiness to us. Another thing is that it reduces stress. When we help others, our bodies release a hormone called oxytocin, which buffers stress and helps us maintain social trust and tranquility. So think of teaching school as a stress-reducing activity. You're being of service, so yeah, the stress is being reduced, okay? A relief from pain. They say that it releases some chemicals into our body that we have a higher pain tolerance. Goes with teaching school again, kind of that sort of thing. Longer lifespan. Over 40 international studies confirm that volunteering can add years to your life. And we hope you teach all those years so that you're adding to your life. Lower blood pressure. There was a report, adults over 50 who volunteered for 200 hours in the past year were 40% less likely to have hypertension than non-volunteers. It's all secular. There's nothing about God in this. And so the people of the world even realize that service, why? It does good things for us. It reduces mild depression. It was talking about those who have been alcoholics, those that enter a program to get cleaned up on that. If they volunteer to help others, they were twice as likely to stay clean a year later. Their depression rates were correspondingly lower as well. Volunteering helps to keep a person in regular contact with others and to help develop a social support system. Isolation oftentimes causes a depression in people. So to be part of a group and to work together in community helps to lift depression. It's not a cure for it, but these are things that it helps. It'll benefit your career. Another fellow that did a study of some sort, he insists that volunteering for the right reasons can so turn your life around that the benefits will extend to your work. He says, remember, when you become involved, when you lead with your heart as well as your head, the results is always good. Instead of feeling depressed or unfulfilled at work, he is convinced that you'll feel more happy, confident, and energized when you find something that makes you feel generous and purposeful. And of course, that will spread to every single area of your life. All secular. At the end of this article, they asked the question, they said, so does all volunteering prove beneficial? No. One professor of psychology pointed out, he said, and I found this to be very significant coming from this side of the fence, helping appears to only be good for you if you really care about those who you're helping. Can we make application about that in our schools? I'll read that again. Helping appears to only be good for you if you really care about those you're helping. Oh, so there is a deeper meaning there. And maybe I'll just touch, first of all, on the two things at the end of your handout, right reasons to serve, and then we'll go back and start over. That should be the main reason that I serve others. The main answer to this question of service, why, should be, I love God. I want to do something for God. I realize what God has done for me, and that produces within me a desire to help other people. Does our love for God, is it so true? Is it so real? Is it so much a part of us that when we see an area where we can reach out and touch a life and help someone, it's just second nature to us? It's not that we have to go through this thought process about how happy I'll be and how it will reduce stress in my life and my blood pressure will go down. If I do this, we don't have to think about things like that. I love God and I love what He has done for me in my life. And because of that, I want to help other people. Because God's on his throne, all's right with the world. You know, you've heard that. There's not really anything I can do for God to make heaven run better. But here, where he has placed me in this life, I can, because of my love for God, reach out to my fellow men and try to make life easier for them, to help in whatever way I can. We'll come back to those right reasons to serve. Back to the front of the handout. A definition of service. And it's just the idea that we are being helpful or useful. And I challenge you on that to make sure that what you are doing when you think you are serving other people is really helpful, that it really means something. We're busy people often. We like to be doing, we like to do things with other people and for other people and all. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you did something for somebody and you found out later that they didn't really care for your help? It wasn't really what they wanted, and it didn't turn out quite the way you expected it to. And you're embarrassed. Maybe they're embarrassed you found out. We struggle with our relationships at that point and all that sort of thing. Make sure that the service you're doing for other people is helpful. Quite a few years ago, I was involved in helping a local businessman. He was from another church, but conservative Anabaptist, who had a sales lot for mini barns and outdoor furniture and things like that. And I would build mini barns that had to be built on site or things of that nature, or put together stuff for him, put some of his kits together and things. And one day he called me and he asked me to come to his lot and put together a gazebo for a display. And it was just one that you put together, and pretty simple if you could read directions. So I and my helper got at that. And when we got there, we found that this man had two grandsons that were running around with lots of energy. And they were delighted with these newcomers, and they set about to help us erect that gazebo. And they were in the way. And we kind of put up with it for a while. But at one point in the forenoon there, the one boy said to me, he said, "Am I being helpful?" And I guess I took the opportunity to leave him know that maybe he wasn't being so helpful. And that, you know, this and this and this he could do, but we really needed him to stand back a little bit so that we could work better. And I thought of that in relation to my work for God. I need to ask God. I need to ask other people sometimes, am I being helpful? And then I need to be willing to take the answer that comes from God. And I need to take it to heart, and I need to reevaluate and readjust. And maybe I am being helpful. That's great. That's wonderful. But let's make sure that what we are doing, the service we are doing, isn't just my idea of what everybody else needs, but it is truly being a service to others. Because we want to be able to focus on that idea of being helpful and useful to other people. Am I being helpful? What about motivators to, as we think about teaching children to be service-minded? Does that come naturally to them? No. We're talking about service. Why should we do this? And we want that service to come out of their hearts because of a desire to please us. Maybe as a small child, we're not thinking of that in relation to their love for God so much as we're thinking about as their love for their authority in their lives, their parents, their teachers. And we want them to respond to that. We may use some outward things, some extrinsic motivators, to help them see the need to be involved in whatever services can be applied to their lives. But we want that to move from an extrinsically motivated, we want that to move from that to the idea of being motivated from within. So let's look at some wrong reasons to serve. And I've got some points on my outline that refer to the board and to teachers. And if you find yourself in another position in life this morning, you can make application as well. Number one, the idea that I have to. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? I have to. And let's think of that first of all about as a teacher. Were you the school board's only option? Sometimes we feel like that. We feel like they were scraping the bottom of the barrel when they asked me, you know, and we're kind of not so sure about this idea of teaching. And maybe they didn't ask you first, but they ask you last if you answered yes. I hope that each of us as teachers have a want-to attitude. As I think about what I'm doing here this morning, I'd like to be home with my family. But I enjoy doing this and meeting people and spending time with you and serving in this way. But if I just come along on these trips because I feel like Pete's got my arm twisted and I have to go, it's not going to work out very well. And the same thing goes for you teachers as you teach school. Do you feel like you just have to do this? No one else would do it, so I guess I'll do it to Christmas. And hopefully the school board can find somebody else to fill in. And sometimes circumstances are such that's all that God expects of us, remember the school board. But have a want-to attitude. I want to do my best today. I want to do the best that I can. What about you school board members? Do you have a want-to attitude, or is it, I have to? It's my turn to be on the school board. Everyone else in the congregation's been on the school board, and I guess I need to take my turn too. And oh dear, there goes some more nights of my week, and they're precious as they are. You know, you can end up with an attitude that actually borders on bitterness. How do you think that works out in a school life? Does it bring about joy and happiness in your life, in the lives of those that are in the school, the lives of teachers, the lives of students that you interact with? Are you enduring your time on the school board? I hope not. I hope you're making good use of that and you're putting forth lots of effort to do your best. We're blessed with men in our community that, although they may not be eager to be on the school board, they willingly take their turn. And I'm thankful for that. But I think of one man from our community who has let it be known that he likes being on the school board. Now, in our Mennonite Anabaptist way of thinking, we almost think of that as pride. There's something wrong there. But we're trying to break some of that thinking in our congregation and let people know it's okay for you to like to do something of service and to let people know that you enjoy doing it. He doesn't insist that he's on the school board all the time, but there's been some times where maybe a man from our community and his family have moved to another community, and so it's left a vacancy there. A man that was on the school board and his term wasn't done yet. And we in leadership know that we can go to this fella and say, Brian, will you finish out Trenton's term of service on the school board? And he'll say yes. We know that before we ask him. And he enjoys it. Brian has a job where he starts work very early in the morning and is usually done. He has his time in before Friday is over with. So there's been times that he comes and visits school. He makes a very good school board member because his job is such that he is able to visit school on Fridays sometimes. Not saying that you can't be a good school board member unless you do that. But Brian doesn't have an I have to mentality. He enjoys that. He thinks that's a good way for him to serve in our congregation. He has an I want to mentality. And I think sometimes, going back to teachers, I think sometimes that we miss it in our communities, and school boards, you listen to this. I think we miss it sometimes because we have this idea, our teachers do, or our young people do, that they have to wait to be asked to be a teacher. Now, some of you may disagree with me on this, but I think it would be all right if a young person would say, I think I might enjoy teaching, I'm not sure. And young people, you've got to have tough skins then when they don't ask you. That's all right. But to let it be known, that I think I would enjoy teaching in some position. Don't worry, there'll be somebody to find you. there's people that are trying to figure out how to get any interest like that and let it be known to schools that desperately need teachers. But we kind of have this mentality within us that we have to wait to be asked. Now, sometimes we can think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I understand that. And pride can enter in there. We don't want that. But an I want to attitude goes so far in this. All right, going on to number two. Trying to manipulate the situation. Teachers, you've finally been asked to teach, and here's your opportunity to fix whatever's wrong in the school and that community. I hope none of you have that idea. You are going to have rough sledding if your thinking is that way. But we do sometimes get that bit of an attitude. You know, it's kind of like the attitude that some of us that have taught for a long time get when we're no longer teaching and our children are in school and the teacher does something and we ex-teachers tend to say to ourselves, hopefully not to our children, if I was teaching, I'd do it different. When I taught, I never did things like that, you know. We're pretty perfect after we get done teaching. We tend to have that idea about ourselves. Not so much while we're teaching, but yeah. Trying to manipulate. What about a school board member? Is this your opportunity to make life easier for your child in the school? I can finally get the curriculum I want in our school because I just think it'll work better for my son. You know, and that's such a narrow focus. I have no problem with exploring ideas for making our schools better. That's good. But if our idea is to manipulate the situation to be an advantage for just me, myself, and I, or my little family, and that sort of thing, that's the wrong concept. That's the wrong reason to serve. That's not going to bring happiness in our lives. Number three, I'm just being curious. I've always wanted to try teaching. It looks so easy. Certainly it can't be as hard as they let on. Wait till February. You'll find out. Maybe wait till after the first or second week. Maybe it's right at the beginning. I hope that's not your reason for serving. Just being curious. 9 months is a long time to satisfy your curiosity. You'll find out. I hope you have deeper underlying reasons than that. And maybe you were reluctant to teach, but I hope you're giving it your all and you're saying, I feel like God has called me to this situation, even though this wasn't my idea. I didn't even feel like this was something I wanted to do, but here I am. I'm going to do my best in this service. Why? Back to the back part of the handout, because I love God and I love others. Not just because I am curious about how things work. Thinking about the curiosity part as a board member, I hope that none of you would have the attitude that, well, I'll try it for a while, but if I don't like it, I won't put much effort into it. Being a board member can be discouraging sometimes. The pay is not real high, at least in our community. And we double our board members' pay every year that they serve for us. But it still is zero. And if you're just going to look at that curiosity situation, and I'm just going to try it for a while. I've always wondered what it was like to be on the school board. It's the wrong reason to serve. Don't serve for those reasons. A little actual fear, godly fear, fear of not being able to do our best or something like that actually helps us to perform better, to do a better job, to more ably put our whole effort into providing for the school in that way. I'll do it out of a sense of duty. And that kind of brings us back around to the I have to idea. But maybe I will, you know, even beyond the I have to, I do it because, well, I feel like I owe it to the church to help out in this. Usually when we do it out of a sense of duty, we are looking at it very, very short term. We will not think of service as a commitment that may be years long, that you'll spend a lot of time at this. I'll just do it for 9 months and I'll be done. You know, that's what happens when we do it out of a sense of duty. Maybe we feel like that God will give me a special blessing if I do this. That's a wrong reason to serve. We should be doing this because we want to bless God, not because God will be blessing us. And He will. He will bless you if you have the right attitude in it. Here's another sub-point that I thought of in that, out of a sense of duty. I have taught in my as the father in my family, I've taught school. I have four children, and three of those have also taught school. And in a conversation amongst the siblings one time, the older siblings encouraged the youngest one. They said, "Crystal, why don't you teach school? Then we could say, you know, Dad and all of us children taught school. Is that a good reason to serve?" And I kind of slowed things down there, and I told Crystal, I said, I would be quite happy if you taught school, but do not do it for that reason. That's not the right mentality. That's not the right motive for serving in that capacity. And the others smiled, and life went on. But my dad and siblings all taught I should teach too. Don't serve in that capacity or for that reasoning. Then back to those right reasons to serve. I love God. I realize what God has done for me, and I want to do whatever I can for Him. I can never repay that debt of love I owe. And I realize that as I serve other people, as I do unto the least of these, that I'm pleasing God, that God is pleased with my service for Him. We can read that right there in John 13, and you can find other scriptures to back that up also, that God is pleased when we reach out to those that are less fortunate, those that have needs. When you're teaching school, it's not necessarily those that are in dire straits or circumstances, but they have needs. There's a need to learn to read. There's a need to learn to study, to understand how to study, to be better at language arts, to understand how math works. There's a need there. And teachers and school board members, the school is there to provide that need. And if I am serving for the right reasons, with the right motives, the right attitudes in my heart and mind, then it's going to be successful. Now, I know some days it doesn't feel very successful, and you wonder if you're getting anywhere. But I still know that God is pleased at that point if our attitude is right. I love others. That should also be a motivating factor in my desire to serve, is that I have a love for other people. Now, those of you that have served in the classroom, maybe several years, well, even most of you have served now for what, 2 months in the classroom, if this is your first year. Are some of your students easier to love than others? Yeah. I had a girl in my class when I was teaching grades 5, 6, and 7 that the other students were pretty sure she was a teacher's pet. And I resisted that idea, and they did not really argue with me about it. I think they knew better. She got her work done on time. She made average to above average grades. She was always polite, respectful, on time, happy and cheerful. What's there to not like about somebody like that? I always wondered if I'd had a whole room full of Rachels, what it would have been like. Not good for me, I'm sure. But we would have certainly done some extra things that never got done because you're busy with the ones that don't behave quite that well, that struggle with their work. But those people need love too. I need to have compassion for others and their problems and their needs, and to see how I, as a teacher, as a school board member, how I can help to meet those problems and needs. The last point I'd like to leave with you is that service to others is a great relationship builder. You'll build relationships in the classroom that will last you a lifetime. I still feel a certain extra kinship, relationship with the ones that I had in school. I do. And think about your service to others as school teachers and as board members and all, and as those children look up to you, they want to see that you're not only serving them, but you, that's a lifestyle for you. What happens when there's a work day in the community? Do you show up? Or no, as a teacher, I'm too busy. I can never do things like that. Some of your children will be there. They'll wonder why their teacher's not there. Maybe this applies more to the men. I'm thinking of work days where we're putting on a roof or something, but oftentimes there's food there brought by some of the women. And because of our teaching responsibilities, we can't always be everywhere either. When I taught, I wished I could have went on CAM trips, disaster trips. Couldn't. It's too long. I felt that was too long out of the classroom, so I stayed home. Right reasons to serve. I love God. I love others. Remember that when we serve the Lord, He is honored, others are helped, and we are blessed.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.